Blog Talk Radio.
Holding us down. Social delusion, clearly constructed. Human condition, morals corrupted. Trapped in reaction, lawlessness, war. Dissatisfaction from bowels to core. Devil's technology, strategy four. Human mythologies, urban folklore. Sick of psychology, counterfeit cure. Wicked theology, robbing the poor. Scheme demonology, mislead the pure. Stricken strategically, studying war. Light shone in darkness, image exposed. Few can see through the new emperor's clothes. Lustful, this hustle turns humans to hoes. When the blind lead the blind, just more trouble and woes. It's the mind that they chose. It's designed to stay closed. Standards of jokers. Court just the logic. Cyclic and cosmic from schoolyard to college. Primitive man and his civilized knowledge. system collapse and he still won't acknowledge God is the savior, studies behavior, trying to fix the mixed mind that he gave you. Stiff-necked scholars on prescription meds, wishing their problems was all in their heads. Moral dilemma, pride at the root, misguided from youth, heart divided from truth. Egyptians and Grecians, spiritually dead, empirically led by the good gods in their heads. Motives and thoughts, industrial wealth, global economy in it for self. Heart full of madness, covered with kind, pleasure designed to take over your mind. Furnished in godliness, painted in good, this tainted priesthood's got real saints misunderstood. While classes and government set up the veil and cultivate minds for more mythical tales. Typical Hollywood, follies, good girl, while vice and corruption take over the world. Motives and thoughts. Check your motives and thoughts. Line with the wickedness deep in your heart. Modern day wickedness is all you've been taught. Lie to your neighbors so you get ahead. Modern day trickery is all you've been fed. Motives and thoughts. Check your motives and thoughts. Thank you.
All right now, it's 11:37 on a Tuesday night, on a Tuesday morning. Usually I do it at night, so I apologize. On a Tuesday morning, I'd like to thank you to listen to Sound Off Forums. I'm your host, George Beverly Jr. What a marvelous day that the Lord has made. Thank you for all who have continued to support me through this great adventure that God has put us through. Those who are new to the program, I'd like to welcome you and bring you greetings from the Lord Christ Jesus. This show is dedicated to the people. I have not yet done an open forum for people to call in and all these different things because I just want to get the word out. But if you are interested in coming up with an idea for me to talk about, I'd be more than happy to do research and look it up. This right now that we're about to do this morning, I want to take time to explain why I played that Lauryn Hill piece. What are motives and thoughts? Why is Lauryn Hill speaking about motives and thoughts? Just go back and listen to it. You can go ahead and YouTube it. It's Def Jam Poetry, Lauryn Hill. Go back and listen to it, and then get your own conclusion behind it. I like people to just get your own thoughts behind it. I can give you a little nugget every now and then, but, you know, it's about what you receive out of it. Now, when we're talking about the scripture, it's not the same thing. When one or two are gathered, or two or more are gathered, you should be on one accord. In my journey with Christ, I have experienced so many different things. Like I've said before, many broadcasts, my denomination or how I feel to believe my doctrine and which I believe is apostolic. I do not belong to an apostolic church currently, so I dibble and dabble in Baptists and. And I've been to a Jehovah's Witness meeting. I also recently went to an apostolic church. So, listen, it is not the church itself. I want everyone to understand that. When Jesus was on earth, Jesus did not have a church. It said that he went into the synagogues. Jesus taught on mountainsides, hillsides, from a boat, from a birthday party, a wedding party, I should say, not a birthday party, but for a wedding. All these things that God has revealed to us, he has not said about once about a church. Now, as the disciples, as we look in the further Bibles, books in the Bible, after B.C. rather than A.D., A.D. rather than B.C., because, before Christ and after Christ, but it's in Latin or Greek, so I don't know the actual real name, but that's how we say it as Americans, I guess. So A.C., after Christ, such books like Romans and Acts and Ephesians and 1 Timothy, 1 Peter, and Jude, Revelation, things like that, John. Those books were written after, you know, many, many years after Jesus had passed away. So that, in those, they start talking about the church and how the church is supposed to be set up and ran. And that was a place where they were able to congregate and meet, ladies and gentlemen. And so let's keep that in mind as we're going through this. It's about the congregation of meeting of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit within you. So when you leave your house, for example, if you get 10 people and ask those 10 people, raise your hand if you believe in God, all right? Let's say 5 raise their hand. You take those 5 and then you ask them what their religion was, and maybe two out of the five will be the same religion. Maybe they not, maybe be all different. But the point that I'm trying to make is they believe in God. The same Spirit that's in a Catholic should be in a Jehovah's Witness. The same Spirit that's in the Baptist should be in a Lutheran. But the things is the doctrine are different. If you're reading from the Bible, the doctrine is what you believe. If you go into the Old Testament, there is no doctrine in the Old Testament. It is what God said. So let me get off the soapbox and let me get into the lesson, because we got lots to talk about this morning. So without further ado, you can find me at george.mango.904 on Facebook, or you can find me on Sound Off Forums on Facebook. You can also find me at Twitter at soundoff97413, at gmail.com. If you'd like to call in and make a comment, you can always do that, 347-989-1014. Or you can also go to my website, soundoffforums.org.net. And that's 3 S and S, Sound Off Forums. And as we always do with Ephesians 6 through 13, not with thy service and man pleases, but the servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as the Lord, not to men, knowing whatsoever good a thing that any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there reason of the persons with him, respect of the persons with them. Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take upon the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having all done, to stand. And let the church say, Amen. Ah. Yes, thank you very much. Okay, so this lesson is very, very interesting, very inspiring. If you would like to comment in the chat room is open, but you have to actually log in, so you have to either sign in to Blog Talk Radio, or you can log in with your Twitter account or your Facebook account. There might be other ones you can log in with, but that's the only two that I have to log on with. So if you would like to talk in the chat room, please know that that is how you'll be able to do it. So the question was brought, and like I said, I'm reading from a watchtower, and I know people say, well, George, why are you talking about Jehovah's Witness, but because you're apostolic? Well, everything that's in this watchtower that I've read is straight from the Bible. There's nothing in there that has anything but the Word of God. So that is why I'm reading it. The question was posed, consider what kind of person you ought to be. This question was posed. Now, this question that was posed comes from Peter. It says, 2 Peter 3:13, what sort of person ought you be in the holy act of conduct and deeds of the holy devotion Okay, so what we're going to do is I'm going to go ahead and actually read the whole 2 Peter 3 so we can get a context of what we're going through. Okay?
Peter 3. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I mean, both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. Above all, you must understand that in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters, also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. Do not forget this one thing, dear friend. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. I just wanted to make this understanding that when Peter, there's a difference between Peter and Paul in the way they write and the way they speak. You have to remember that Peter walked with Jesus. Paul did not walk with Jesus. So when Peter speaks of what he speaks about, he's very stern. He's the same Peter that was in Galilee. He was the same Peter who said denied Jesus. This is the same Peter. Paul, on the other hand, did not walk with Jesus. And so we know that their jobs are a little different, that we know that Peter was talking to the Jews. So that's why he's a little bit sterner when it comes to that, because they didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of Man. They did not believe that Jesus was the Son of the Father. So when you start to really dabble into it, Peter and Paul have a different little to their speakings. So let's look at these three questions that were posed, and then we'll get into the lesson. It says, one would be, what sort of person must you be to gain God's approval? The second point would be, how does Satan deceive people? And the third point would be, what can you do to protect your relationship with Jehovah, Jesus, God, Emmanuel, whomever you want, however you want to use his word, Yahweh. Jesus has been called many names. Let's look at this. It says, it is not unusual to care about what others think of us. As Christians, through such, should we not be more concerned about what Jehovah's opinion about us? After all, he is the perfect person in the universe, and it is him in that source of life. Psalms 36, 9. Emphasizing on what sort of person we ought to be from Jehovah's point of view, the Apostle Peter urges us to engage in the holy act of conduct and in the deeds of godly devotion. Now, when it started talking about God will be coming back, okay? God will be coming back, correct? And he said that there will be scourers of the day. It will be scourers will come and scouring of the fellow on evil desires. So I looked up, I got three different sources of this definition. You know how I do it. I like to just give you a wider range of sources. And this is coming from freedictionary.com. It says scour. Scour is to mark at or treat with this. Prison, disrisen. That's used as a verb in the future tense. This right here is used in a verb to show and to express distinction or scorn. Now it's used as a noun. You can use it as it says an expression of the discernment or the scorning. Okay. The next. Definition that I got was coming from Webster's Dictionary, which it says the action of scour, to deserve, and the concept, contempt. The second definition is the object of scorn, mockery, or decision, or derision. The third definition that I have is coming from vocabulary.com, and it says someone who jousts or mocks or treats something with the contempt of calling out in derision. Okay. The second one is used as a noun. It says someone who eats food rapidly or greedily. So in what context you want to take it in, that is totally up to you, ladies and gentlemen. So, but we're going to go ahead and go forward with this. And this, like I said, this is coming out of 2 Peter 3:11. And then it goes on to say, for us to gain God's approval, our actions of conduct must be holy. The clean morality, mental, and the spirituality. Moreover, we need to perform deeds of godly devotion. Give reverence to God and loyal attachment to him, seeking his approval, then involving not only our conduct, but also our interperson. Since Jehovah is an examiner of our hearts, he knows whether we are holy in conduct and exclusively devoted to him or not. First Chronicles 29:17. So we go and we're going to answer this question. What sort of person must we be to gain God's approval? We must be clear, morally, mentally, and spiritually clean and holy. We have to have acts of good conduct. And this conduct must be also in our inner person. For the scripture of 1 Chronicles 29 says, he knows whether our holy in conduct, or we are holy in conduct and exemplarily devoted to him or not. Then the second question was posed, how does Satan deceive people? Wow, that's something that we need to really look at. Satan the devil does not want us to seek God's approval. In fact, he does not does at all he can to get us to abandon our relationship with Jehovah, Jesus, God, Emmanuel, however you want to name his name. Let's say his name. Satan does not hesitate to lie or to deceive, to seduce us, and to draw us away from God and worship. John 8:44, 2 Corinthians 11:13-15. Therefore, we are wise to ask ourselves, how does Satan deceive people? What can I do to protect my relationship with Jehovah? Okay, so how does Satan deceive us? How does Satan deceive us? Each one tried by drawing us out, enticing us by desire. What it is written by disciple James. Then the desire, when it has become fertile, gives birth to sin. In turn, sin turns into, when it is accomplished, brings forth death. James 1:14-15. In an attempt to break our attachment to God, Satan targets the source of our desires in our heart. Let's marinate on this one right here. What exactly is James saying? So is he saying that the desires that we want, and in the you don't see the description, but the description right now is Eve, and she's reaching for apple or some type of fruit, and this division that God wants us to keep away from us and try to tell us and warn us about is the same thing that we entice ourselves. So, for example, let's look at the newest gadget there is, the iPad. Well, we know that the iPad's out there. The iPad can be used for really great things and do all kinds of stuff. But what about if you can't afford it? Christmas is coming up, y'all. A lot of y'all can't afford iPads, but you're going to, what you say, sacrifice. You said you're going to sacrifice whatever it takes so your children can have that gadget. My next question would be, have you paid your tithe and offering? That sacrifice. You want to talk about sacrifice? How about paying your tithe and your offering and see how blessed you'll be? Listen, I'm not, like I said, I'm not in this prophecy get-rich scheme thing. It's not even about that. It's about me wanting you to be blessed. And God wants you to be poor. He said, blessed are the poor. Blessed are the meek. So he didn't say blessed are the wealthy. He didn't say blessed are the rich. He didn't say that. He said, blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek. And if you're rich, I want to see a rich, meek person. It's very hard and rare to find. So this division or this wedge that Satan employs, he says he targets our desires. That's very, man, I mean, that is the very essence of who we are. We desire so many things. We desire to be good parents. We desire to be good husbands. We desire to be good wives. We desire to be number one in our job. We desire to be number one on the dean's list. We desire to be number one in the military. We desire to be number one in the world. We desire to be so many things that we desire. So Satan says, okay, if that is your desire, how can I get to you from the desire? How can I wedge that desire? Because you believe in Jesus, but I don't want you to believe in Jesus. What do I have to do in order to do that? James says that desire, when it becomes fertile. So let's look at a flower. Let's look at the seed. The seed is the desire. I desire to be a good husband. No, let's say I desire to be a disciple of God. You made that. You heard this sermon on Sunday morning. And you're like, you know what, I'm a desire to be a servant of God. I'm going to devote myself to God. I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus. That seed is planted. You put it in the, you put it in your heart, and you're ready to flower and grow. You're earnest, ready to go. You go to work on Monday morning, you find out the government about to shut down. Uh-oh. Not only is the government shutting down, but you got to go to work and you're not getting paid. Uh-oh. So we're no longer talking about spiritual. Now we're talking in the flesh. How am I going to feed my kids? How am I going to get to work with no gas? I don't have no savings. I'm living paycheck to paycheck. Uh-oh. But once again, you've already planted a seed to be a discipleman. The discipleship, where's it at? Where's your faith? Okay, all right, well, here's Satan doing his mighty work. It turns into sin because now you're saying, what can I do in order to replace the job that I'm not getting paid for? Well, let me take up a second job. Okay, now you took up a second job. Nothing wrong with that, you say, right? But guess what? Your second job messes with Bible study. Your second job messes with Friday service. Your second job messes with you going to church on Sunday morning when you had the day of the weekend off. That develops you being a wedge between you and God and the covenant that you've already given to God. But the sin comes in. There's nothing wrong with working, but God said let there be rest on the Sabbath day. Now you're not spending no time with your family because all the thing you can worry about is how much money you're bringing in. Instead of having faith in God and saying, Lord, I'm going to give you my life. God said to the woman who put in the penny, he said, she put in less than everyone around us, and she is the most giving person because of that one cent she gave because it was all that she had. That's all he's asking for, people. Don't jump off the cliff mentally because of an issue in your life is coming. I'm speaking from experience because if you don't go through nothing, then you cannot be stronger. Okay, so I'm going to get off the soapbox for a minute and continue to go on because, you know, there's a lot of information I have to cover. So now we know that the desire, I was just giving you an example, that desire is that fertile seed. And so by what means does Satan make our part in this target? The whole world lies in the power of the wicked one, states the Bible. 1 John 5:19. Satan's weapon include the things of the world. First John 2:15-16. Over the years, the devil has carefully crafted an environment surrounding us. Since we live in this world, we need to guard against his subtle tactics. John 17:15. Satan used methods designed to corrupt the desires of our hearts. The Apostle John identifies three enticements that that Satan employs. The first one is the desire of the flesh. The second one is the desire of the eyes. The third is the showy display of one's means of life. Satan uses them to tempt Jesus in the wilderness. Having had years of practice using such traps, Satan today uses them efficiently, adapting his approach to each person's inkling an individual need and want and desire. Before concerning measures, we must take protection of ourselves in this regard. Let us see how the devil successfully uses certain enticements with Eve, but unsuccessfully with the Son of God. Now, I'm going to slowly break this down, and they break it down too, but I want everybody to be very mindful of these three things. We're reminded in the Bible from James and from Peter about our eyes, about our flesh. We're reminded about that. But the third one is very interesting. It says, showy display of one's means of life. And what does that mean? We'll find out in a little bit. So we're going to go ahead and hit up the desires of the flesh. Desires of the flesh. Humans have a fundamental requirement for sustaining the body, the need for food. The Creator designed the earth to produce good food bountifully. May try to appeal to the natural desire of food in the effect to turn us away from God's will. Concerning how he did with Eve in Genesis 3, 1 through 6, Satan told Eve that she could eat of the fruits of the tree of knowledge of good and bad without having to die, saying that the day that she eats from it, she would be like God. We hear this. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take Adam and Eve thing, and then I'll give you an example of that, how we do it today. If you look at Eve and what she did, she was in the flesh. She wasn't hungry. She had everything she needed. But it was the seed that was planted in her head. And everybody knows what I'm talking about, that seed. Okay, men, how about that woman you just saw walk past you? I don't care if you're a pastor. I don't care if you're a bishop. I don't care. There's no man on this earth that does not look at a woman. So we might as well go ahead and admit that with our minds and with our hearts and with our mouths, because that is the truth. You see that woman, she passed by. That seed is there. What are you going to do? Are you going to fight? Are you going to have flight? Because that is our main fighting mechanism as human beings. We either fight or we flight. And what does that mean, George? That means we can combat that one thought saying, oh, that's a beautiful woman, and go on about our business. We can say, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ. Fighting would be with the scripture. Flight would be, well, that's a beautiful woman. I wonder where she's going. I wish I could have her phone number. So let's put that in Adam and Eve's content. Eve, you will not surely die if you eat that fruit. But you would be like a god. That seed was planted. It was in her mind. It was going over and over and over and over and over. She was trying to figure it out. What does he mean? Until the seed grew into a flower, and she could not take it anymore, and she reached up and swiped that apple. Oh, excuse me, that fruit. When she swiped the fruit, she ate it. She didn't die. The truth was, she didn't die, but her eyes were open. What died that day? That's for another time, another day. I'm not going to even get into that because that's deep. Woo! But just keep that in mind, though, ladies and gentlemen. What died? What died? Okay. What died? That's good. What died? Thank you, Jesus. Other thrust thus insinuates that Eve does not need to obey the God in order to live. What is a blatant lie that was. Once the idea was planted in Eve's mind, she had two options. She could reject the idea, or she could keep the dwelling of it, allowing that desire of that fruit to grow, despite the fact that all the other trees in the garden were at her disposal. She chose to dwell on what Satan had said concerning the tree in the middle of the garden, and she began to think. Excuse me. She began taking of it, of the fruit, and eating it. Satan thus created within her the desire for something that was forbidden by the Creator. Satan used the same tactic when he tried to tempt Jesus in the wilderness. After Jesus had fast for 40 days and 40 nights, Satan attempted to apply to Jesus. Desire for food. If you are a son of God, said Satan, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread, Luke 4:1-3. Jesus had two options. He could choose not to use the marvelous power to satisfy the need for food, or he could choose to use it. Jesus knew that he should not use such power for selfish purposes. Though he was hungry, satisfying through the hunger did not take priority over maintaining a relationship with Jehovah. It was written, Jesus replied, man must not live by bread alone, but by everything proceeded unto Jehovah's mouth. It's Luke 4:4. Now, in this, and once again, you can't see the picture, but in the picture, Jesus is standing in the desert. He has stones around him and a couple large boulders around him, and his hands are folded. And God continued to rebuke Satan because he either fought or he flighted. And the flight was not there. He fought him with Scripture. And so he used the word in order to combat that. He wasn't even allowing the devil to plant the seed. He didn't even allow the seed to even fall on fertile ground. It landed on a rock. The soil was not fertile at all. He didn't even entertain it. So the difference between Eve and Jesus is, yes, Jesus had omnipotent power compared to Eve, but Eve was perfect. Adam was perfect before the fruit. So you've got three perfect beings here, and then it says, oh my goodness, Jesus used scripture in order to combat that. Okay, well, we have a caller. Hold on, you know how we do it when we get a caller. Hello, caller.
I know what type of person I am. Your show is called Consider What Type of Person You Ought to Be, and I actually found out the type of person I am. I'm actually a person who farts green gas. Do you fart green gas? I think it might come from my diarrhea, but my shit's brown, so, I mean, my farts are just green. It's a green gas that comes out of my butthole.
Okay.
Do you fart green gas?
I don't know what kind of gas I fart.
Have you ever sniffed one of your farts or, you know, farted into like a bottle or a yard or anything and then sniffed it?
I just want to rebuke you right now in the name of Jesus because I'm not going to let Satan interfere with my word. You see, when I start speaking the truth in the word, Satan don't like this. And so I usually let people say what they want to say on my show, but right now this is not the format nor the place for Satan. See, and this is what I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, for me to even entertain that thought was giving desire or giving seed. So I'm going to let that fall on fertile ground. This has nothing to do with Jesus. This has nothing to do, but the devil wants to see. He wants me to get excited. He wants me to get happy. He wants me to get furious about him being on my show. But you know what? Satan, I have peace. And I thank you for calling in, caller. I thank you. Because I'm going to worship God whether you do or not. So I thank you for that call. So I continue on. And now we're going to move on to the desires of the eyes. John also mentioned that the desires of the eyes, such as an entice of the expression given that one can bring desiring sometimes by simply looking at it. In the case of Eve, Satan applies to the desire, saying, your eyes are bound to an open, and the more Eve looked at it, the more the forbidden fruit became, the forbidden fruit was attracted to her. Eve saw that the tree was something to be belonged to the eyes. What about Jesus' case? Satan showed that Jesus, all the kingdoms of the inhabitant of the earth and in the, and of the time, and the devil said to him, I will give you all of this authority and glory of them. Luke 4:5-6. Now, I want you to look at this right now. And I want you to see that when it comes to the case of Eve and it comes to Jesus, Eve was in the flesh. God was not only tempted in the flesh, but he was also tempted in the spirit and in the mind. So it was a three-part series that the devil tried to attack Jesus. He tried to attack him on a three-part series: his flesh, his mind, and his spirit. He only got to Eve's flesh and her mind. Excuse me, two things. Her mind and her flesh. But Satan couldn't even get him on the flesh, gave him scripture. He couldn't get him in the mind. But he'll say, hey, throw yourself off this cliff. It's coming up. But they couldn't get him in the spirit. He showed Jesus what he could have if he just did that. For most of us, if you go hungry, you take a hungry man, you give him a steak, he's going to jump at the steak. But a wise man will know that nothing is for free. Even salvation is not for free. Salvation ain't for free. When you become a saved and born again in the Lord, you got to do work. Because Paul said, "Work without faith, and faith without works is dead." So you've got to work. Salvation ain't free. You just can't be saved and say, well, Jesus said that I'm going to be born again, I can see the kingdom of heaven, and all that. No, no, it's going to take work, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be hard. There are going to be people like who just called who's going to try to shoot you down and try to bring you down. And I'm telling you, if you are in the flesh, you're going to get hurt. I got hurt. I feel hurt. I wear my heart on my sleeve. I know what kind of person I am. But you have to understand, you have to find peace in Christ Jesus. The devil could not get Jesus in the spirit. Jesus would not let his literal eyes see all the kingdom of the intent, but Satan must have felt that the glory of these kingdoms are the presence of the vision. We should hold some attention for Jesus. Shamelessly, Satan suggested, if you do an action of worship before me, it shall all be yours. Luke 4:7. In no way did Jesus want to be kind of a person that Satan wanted him to be. He responded with an immediate, he said, it is written that Jehovah, your God, you must worship, and it is him alone you will remain scarce in service. Luke 4:8. The surely the display of one's means of life. In ceasing the things of the world, John mentioned that the surely the display of the means of life from Adam and Eve were the only humans on the planet. They were considered the case to make, could the case not make a shorter display of the means of life before other people. But they did manifest pride. When tempting Eve, Satan intentionally that God withheld something wonderful from her. The devil told her that in the very day her eating from the fruit of knowledge of good and evil, she was bound to be like God, knowing good from evil, Genesis 2:17, 3, and 5. Satan thus suggests that Eve could gain independence from Jehovah. Pride was apparently the factor that caused her to attempt this lie. She protested the forbidden fruit, believing that she would not really die, how wrong she was. In contrast with Eve was the wandering examples of humility Jesus set. Satan tried to tempt him in another way, and Jesus rejected even the very thought of doing something dramatic that was with put God at test. That would have been an act of pride. Instead, Jesus replied with a clear, direct, "It is said, you must not put Jehovah God to the test." How do we protect our relationship with God, Jesus, Jehovah? How do we do that? Today, Satan uses enticements similar to those that he used with Adam and Eve and also Jesus. Although the enticed of the flesh, the devil uses this world to promote immorality, overindulging in eating and drinking. By means of pornography, especially in the internet, he has caught the attention of the unwavering viewer and applied to the desires of the eyes. And what temptation, materialism, power, fame has for the proud and those who incline to make a showy display of means of life. The things in this world are like the lure of a fisherman. What are the attractives, but attached to each lure is a hook. Satan uses what people may regard as a normal everyday thing to make everything of them want to do what is contrary to the law of God. Such subtle temptations through a desired design to influence other desires and corrupt of our hearts, they are really an attempt to make us believe that taking care of a person's needs and comfort takes priority over doing the will of God. Will such enticements work on you? Will such enticements work on you? Okay, so we know that in that one thing that I read that I want to bring up is that the devil uses this world or his world to promote immorality and overindulging in eating and drinking and other means of pornography, especially the internet. We know that right now the devil said, listen, the devil's time is running out. He uses trash like depression. He uses trash like the internet. He uses disappointment. He loses longing. He uses things like that, emotions and fear and corruption in order to draw you nearer to him. Because then how can there be a Lord? How can there be a Jesus if Jesus is allowing all these things? Ladies and gentlemen, you must believe and have faith. Do you think that the apostles had it good? Not even close. So, as we move on, thus Eve succumbed to Satan's temptation. Jesus successfully resisted them. Each time he gave a scriptural answer saying, it was written or it was said. If you are a diligent student of the Bible, we will be well acquainted with these scriptures and be able to bring to mind the verses that you can help us to keep our thoughts straight in our temptation. Psalms 1, 1 through 2. Remembrance scriptures, examples of the faithful individuals who were loyal to God, will help us to emulate them. Romans 15, 4. Having true reverence of Christ, loving what he loves and hates what he hates, he will safeguard us. Psalms 97, 10. Let's look up this word reverence. You know what I'm saying? Look. Everybody want to be reverent. Some of these Baptists want to be reverenced. Okay? The only time you should ever use the word reverence is biblical. The only time you should use the word reverence, a reverend, is when you're referring to Jesus. That's in the only context. Because if you're speaking about a reverend, then you're giving reverence to the person. And that person is nowhere near the perfectness of Jesus. The word reverence is used as a noun, a feeling of profound awe and respect and offer of the love. Coming from veneration or to honor. The second definition is to act of showing respect, especially to bow or courtesy. Three is the state of being reverent. To reverend uses the form of the address of a certain Christian clergy. And it says to consider or to treat profound awe or respect in reverence. Okay, first of all, you can respect a person, but I'm not going to give reverence to a person because I respect the person. I respect that he's a man of God and he's a shepherd, but he's a pastor. In the Bible, it doesn't say anywhere that a person should be a reverend. It said they should be a minister, preacher, pastor, a deacon, deaconess, evangelist, or angelical evangelist, right? Okay. So we move on. The Apostle Paul encouraged us to use the power of reason to become the kind of person who is the molded by God thinking, not by that of the world. Romans 12, 1 through 2, stressing the need to have tight control over what we allow ourselves to think about. Paul stated, we are overturning reasonings and every lofty thing, rising up against the knowledge of God, and we are to bring every thought into captivity to make it obedient to God, to Christ. Our thoughts that is powerful enough on this kind of person that we are, we need to continuously concerning upbuilding things. Philippians 4:8. I want to look up this scripture with bringing every thought unto captivity and reading it in into context for everyone, because it's very important for me to get people to get that connection to what Paul is saying and what he really is trying to reveal to you. Okay, here we go.
And gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold toward you when away, I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, They have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. You are judging by appearances. If anyone is confident that they belong to Christ, they should consider again that we belong to Christ just as much as they do. So even if I boast somewhat freely about the authority the Lord gave us for building you up rather than tearing you down, I will not be ashamed of it. I do not want to seem to be trying to frighten you with my letters. For some say, his letters are weighty and forceful. But in person, he is unimpressive, and his speaking amounts to nothing. Such people should realize that what we are in our letters, when we are absent, we will be in our actions when we are present. We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. We, however, will not boast beyond proper limits, but will confine our boasting to the sphere of service God himself has assigned to us, a sphere that also includes you. We're not going too far in our boasting, as would be the case if we had not come to you, but we did get as far as you with the gospel of Christ. Neither do we go beyond our limits by boasting of work done by others. Our hope is that, as your faith continues to grow, our sphere of activity among you will greatly expand, so that we can preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. For we do not want to boast about work already done in someone else's territory. But let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of things that you need to understand about the Word of God. And it's really time that people stop trying to play church and be church. You see, you don't have to go to church. See, I'm going to get away from the lesson for a second. Of course, this right now, when I say my opinions, I'm going to state that I'm stating opinions, and then when I start stating facts, I'll give you where I'm coming from on that. You see, there's a time and place for everything, and the scriptures are there to help you and to encourage you. And sometimes we fall in and out, and we do different things. But the reality is God is always with us. He does not change. In Malachi 6:10 says, I do not change. God specifically says that he does not change. So if God doesn't change and we change from whatever we change from, we know that we can always consistently believe in something that does not change. And for those who don't believe in the Lord and don't understand the Lord, that's between them and the Lord. We must always come with love. We should not get angry. Look. Let me. I want to get the scripture right. It's James. We have to understand that we have things within us that we need to comfort. Okay, listen. James talks about trials and tribulations, okay? Just consider it pure joy, my brother and sister, where we face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseveration. Let perseveration finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given unto you. He says this too. He says, do not merely listen to the words and be deceived of yourself. Do what he says. Anyone who listens to the word and does not do what it is said is like someone looking in the face of the mirror and looking at himself, goes away immediately, forgets what he was even looking at. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the point that I'm trying to make. Don't forget those things that you hold dear to on Sunday morning. Don't forget that we must love your neighbors as you love yourself. You must have faith in deeds. If someone says to have faith and has no deeds, can such faith save them? Suppose the brother or the sister without clothes on daily food. If one of them says, go in peace and keep warm and be well fed and do think nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, it must be accomplished by action, and if not, it is dead. These are the questions that we must understand. These are the questions that we must grasp hold of and say to ourselves, am I being the best person I can possibly be? Remember, ladies and gentlemen, three things that Satan uses to drive a wedge between you and God. Many different ways that he does it. He has had years of experience in the techniques of doing it. If he did it since Eve, and we never even know what Eve looked like, guess how much time and space he's had. He's had tons of time. You don't think he can know how to get to even the strongest Christian areas in the world? Oh, he knows how to get that temptation. It may not be by beer. It may not be by cigarettes. It may not be by women. It may not be by food. It may be just his flesh by himself. You know that what God allowed happened to Job when he afflicted him with those with leprosy and his face was falling off. Be afflicted with cancer. Be afflicted with amputation. Be afflicted with constant pain. That might be your weakness. Will you sit there and curse God to his face, or will you continue to have faith? It doesn't matter what it is, ladies and gentlemen. You have to understand that the devil will get you at your weakest moment and your weakest need. We must constantly bring in the thoughts of captivity, Paul said. He says, we are to bring every thought into captivity to make it obedient to Christ. Let's work on bringing every thought into captivity. Bring no thoughts to captivity. Three things that the devil uses to wage against God, and that is the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the showy display of one's means of life. How do we keep our relationship with God? The desires of the approval of God, we must know, comes from the desire of the things that he hates and what he loves. And if we keep that in mind, it would be easier, and that's coming from Psalms 97:10. It says, loving what God loves and hating what God hates will safeguard us. My name is George Beverly. This is Sound Off Forums. The next time I should be hearing from you, you should be sounding off.